Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 24th of June, recording at 10:14 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, let's first look at the big picture here right now. The problem, as we've known for quite some time, that lay ahead of us was real market turbulence. As the end of QE was being discounted by investors. Now, we're certainly getting that, but we're also seeing this against a background of quite weak emerging markets, indeed weakness in stock markets across the boards, not least in China. And China's influence as the world's second biggest economy is casting a shadow over the Asian region generally, and also in particular over the commodities generally, and that continues. Now, this will temporarily slow economic growth, which wasn't all that hot, as you know, to begin with, and I can only see it having an effect of lowering corporate profits somewhat for a wide range of shares. And I think it also can only increase disinflationary stroke deflationary pressures in the global economy. So if that carries on for more than the very short term, central banks may want to be coming back with more quantitative easing, which would certainly be controversial, particularly when in the U.S. They're planning about the next taper or the first tapering of quantitative easing. Meanwhile, let's look at some of the highlights in here today, and this is the third consecutive day of what has been a very weak market environment, which can only be characterized by really widespread deleveraging. Now, I've already mentioned emerging markets, stock markets remaining weak, led by China. And those China A shares actually accelerated down to their December 2012 low. Now, also within Asia, previously upside leading ASEAN indices such as Thailand, the Philippines, Indonesia, they're extending their declines, and those declines are breaking the where they're challenging the rising 200-day moving averages. They're also breaking beneath them, and that's something that we're going to see across quite a wide range of stock markets, in my opinion. Now, European the European Banks Index, that's SX7E, is challenging a two-year low near the 100 level. And SX5E, that's the 50 big companies within Europe, that's had, again, three big days to the downside and is also testing some important lows. Now, against this background, you would hardly be surprised to hear me say that a lot of these markets are showing short-term oversold conditions. Indeed, most markets are showing short-term oversold conditions. But we don't have any evidence that this decline is over yet. And if we take Wall Street, the main indices are still above, such as the Dow and the S&P. They're still above their rising 200-day moving averages. And I think I mentioned on Friday, and I'll mention again here, that we're likely to see breaches of those 200-day moving averages, at least temporary breaches. And I would suggest that those breaches will resemble the ones that we saw in 2010 and 2011, when previous quantitative easing programs had actually been allowed to expire. In more recent years, in the last couple of years, we've been in what people have misleadingly called sort of QE in perpetuity, but it was open-ended. And it thus remains such, although there has been a fair amount of pressure to start tapering that QE, as we know. And I think, though, that this market environment will it's very likely to cause some of those people who were calling for a tapering of the QE to rethink that strategy somewhat. Now, what else can we say here about markets today? The first point is of long-dated government bonds. Now, we've seen a flight of capital from that sector, and that continued today. Again, the third very strong gain, strong day of gains in the yields. And that occurred in the morning, and the markets weren't able to hold it. So, for instance, the actual 30-year treasuries, I believe, actually closed, the yields closed down slightly on the day, having surged further upwards earlier on in the day, and most of the gains were wiped out in the U.S. 10-year. So we may be, well, we know we've got a short-term overextended, oversold condition in those markets. And in commodity markets, well, let me take the currencies first, as I usually do at this stage. We have pretty much unchanged Japanese yen. And I should also mention that the Japanese stock market, which is my favorite stock market for this year among the leading markets, and it's actually been range-bound for this month, the month of June, but of course you know that it had tumbled in May, but only giving up a portion of those very, very strong gains that we had seen earlier on. So the point is basically that Japan has been ranging sideways while so many other markets have been falling very, very rapidly in June. Now, the Japanese yen, well, given that the dollar is strong, the yen is actually not weakening against many currencies. It's actually appreciating a little bit against many currencies because it's at 97.76 yen to the U.S. dollar. So that may make it more difficult for Japan to hold these current ranges over the near term if this sell-off continues without a little prior bounce, as is quite likely to be the case. Now, again, among the weak currencies, well, resources producers, their currencies remain very soft overall, and those remain big underperforming markets. And the also a number of the Asian currencies are also quite weak in here. That's been going on for several months. As you know, it actually started with the devaluation of the yen, and then that caused a number of other countries within the Asian region to consider their policy of allowing their currencies to be really, really quite firm. The only one that's remained firm, I believe, is the Chinese renminbi, and it did weaken somewhat in here today, but it's basically been really, really quite strong, and people are actively questioning whether or not this can actually be maintained for much longer. So, a fair amount of nervousness in the markets, to put it mildly. Now, also, commodities were mostly weak in here today. They weren't all weak. Here are the gainers. Sugar was a little bit firmer, particularly white sugar. That's the UK contract. Precious, beg your pardon, the crude oil market is also a little firmer in here, particularly the WTI, which is up a dollar and a quarter today. That's taken it up to just below $95. And the Brent is just above the 101 level. So that spread is still narrowing between those two. The industrial metals are weak across the boards and extending declines. Among the grains and beans, we had some sharp weakness in here today. I think particularly for wheat and soybeans. So soybeans actually unchanged in here today. But the only other gainer that I see in commodities is the Arabica coffee, but that's only a slight gain. So wrap it all up here, and we've seen another day of across the boards deleveraging in these markets. And a key point here, given Wall Street's influence, is that it's still above its 200-day moving averages. But those levels are certainly going to be challenged. So we've got a little bit more selling pressure here in these markets before we get the next buying opportunity. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.